You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Favorite songs of all time, Sandy. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Sandy and I have been talking about a whole array, a litany of things that are happening simultaneously that really do look to damage the outcome of many of the average American citizens' lives in the coming year, months and years. And I don't think many of them would have thought that this could have happened to this degree. You know, we had a call from Cassandra, who voted for Donald Trump, and she said, you know, she did because of what was happening with Joe Biden. And, you know, Sandy, I would say that this, I said it before we went to break, this is more one of the most dangerous times in our nation's history, because our nation looks to be taken over internally. You know, we've spent all this money on the military, and we're worried about China and Russia and Iran, and yet, Sandy, inside of our own government, we're being taken over.
Well, you know, it's interesting. For instance, Elon Musk talks about getting rid of all the regulations that get in our way. Well, Tom, Dick, and Mary don't have regulations that get in their way. The people who have regulations who they would assert get in their way are the big corporations who want to operate their business in any manner that they see fit, and they feel it inconvenient to have to abide by government regulations. And so, you know, almost all this talk about frustrations with government is frustrations of particular private interests, special interests, and it's not the interests of Tom, Dick, and Mary. Do you think that Tom, Dick, and Mary are upset about the activities of this credit surveillance agency that's designed to protect them from excesses of those who would cash their paychecks, those who would charge them interest on credit cards? You know, those are all, that's a protection for Tom, Dick, and Mary. And one of the first things the Trump White House does is to eliminate that office, because, damn, it's inconvenient if you're in the business of maybe trying to pilfer money from Tom, Dick, and Mary. And so, you know, a lot of what's happening is just the people who have power in this country and are frustrated because that it isn't unfettered are busily now trying to unfetter their power and make sure that it's complete. And, you know, we should be worried about that. Our government evolved in all these ways, and it's not perfect, and it definitely requires change. And there definitely was a source of frustration, which was the extent to which the Washington politicians were not responsive to the needs of Tom, Dick, and Mary, because they seemed to be responding to special interest needs. Well, now we have those special interests in direct control of our government. And maybe this is the wake-up call we've all needed, because we're now seeing how they conduct themselves when they are unfettered. Okay, and the notion that this government would set up a sovereign fund overnight and could decide that they're going to amass this great wealth fund, which they could then invest in ways that they see fit without strict standards, without Congress getting involved. I mean, the hubris with which the government is now being operated is truly frightening.
Phone lines are open at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Your thoughts? Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Yeah, good morning, Earl. First, we the people ultimately are the government. Second, these people that call up and talk about money in politics and the Democrats raise so much money, just remember, it's your sandbox through Citizens United, and we're just playing in your sandbox. And you guys have gotten it all. You win. You win. You own the libs. Is that what you want to hear? I mean, is that what you want to keep on hearing, that you own us? And my question to Sandy is, Sandy, how much is not enough? I mean, did capitalism go so far in the 80s with Ronald Reagan that – we just think enough is not enough? I mean, how much is not enough, Sandy?
Well, I think that is the question. How can these people who have amassed such great wealth believe that one of their first areas of focus should be to reduce taxes and to reduce the amount that they contribute to the commonwealth of the people of this country, and to decide that the first acts that they ought to accomplish are to, one, start whacking away at the expenditures of government, most of which are actually directed towards the benefit of Tom, Dick, and Mary, and two, to take a hatchet at the taxes that they have to pay so that they can contribute less to the Commonwealth. It's a crazy conversation that's ongoing. To the extent we have deficits and to the extent we have a national debt that might be a burden, you would think that these people of great wealth would be focusing on ways in which the revenue stream could be increased to our government so we would have a responsible tax structure, while at the same time they would work on the efficiency of government, making sure that it delivers all the programs that it should and has been voted on by Congress to be delivering, that it deliver those programs and it simply do it efficiently. But that's not what's happening in Washington right now. They're taking a whack at the very programs themselves, trying to eliminate them. And they're also obviously setting the stage for the elimination of taxes, while at the same time erecting tariff barriers around the nation, around the nation's businesses, so that they can be protected from the competition abroad, which will increase the prices to Tom, Dick, and Mary, which will cause us all to pay the tax associated with the tariffs of those increased prices, will put our economy at great risk and actually risk the stagflation, which was the horror, the economic horror of the last 50 years of the last century.
You know, Sandy, it is more than frightening. The prospects of where we are headed. You know, we can say, well, 2 years from now, you know, things will change. We're trying to get to next week. We're trying to get to the end of the week. So let's bring Charles on from Milwaukee. Thank you for waiting, Charles. You say what?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, Cassandra has said that she's hoping that Republicans will hold Trump accountable. They're not. They're scared of him. First, they don't want to be primaried. And then second of all, they're scared of his base. Everybody doesn't have Mitt Romney's money where they can pay for a security detail for him and his family every day. And the younger black and brown people that voted for Trump may not understand the nuances of the thing of hate and race. But people like Cassandra and other older black people and brown people got to know that. Everything is blamed on black and brown people. You know, it's cloudy out today, so that's black and brown people did that. You know, the whole thing with the plane crashing. He came in, he created that, but all of a sudden, he turned around and make it seem like it was about black and brown people. It's steady stoking this hate and fear among among the American people. And they even went on the Social Security page and changed their flag, the American flag. It's 9 stars on the flag. And I looked it up. A lady called yesterday and to a couple of shows. And it has to do with, I think, the first 9 Confederate states. I mean, it's all about hate and fear. And putting money aside, I think, to be able to cover this humongous tax break that they're willing to give the rich. And normal, everyday people don't seem to understand it that supported Donald Trump. Donald Trump hasn't done anything he said he was going to do. Well, he didn't say too much of what he was going to do for ordinary people. It was all about the people coming over the border and all of the crime that they're doing. And that wasn't the case. And people fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, and even people of color. And I'll never understand that.
Hey, Charles, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Jim from Brookfield. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what?
I say it's time to restructure the government, but not in the way that Elon Musk and company is currently doing it. I think it's time long term, and I pose this question to you, Earl and Sandy. What are the odds in our lifetime or even our kids' lifetime that we'd see a restructured government, specifically the Senate, when 2 senators from Wyoming, with a population of 600,000, has the same, if not more, voting power than 2 senators from California with 38 million. Now, something's wrong there when you can get a block of these conservative states, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, 6 senators there that can control, you know, who gets in to run government or whatnot. I think it's time, you know, for us to look at how our government is structured, maybe change the rules of the Senate. Mitch McConnell, you know, his legacy, when he finally passes away, will be a dysfunctional government that's greatly racist and slanted toward the few billionaires. This 50-50 vote in the Senate's got to go. It should always be 60, you know, minimum of 60 votes. But what in our lifetime, what are the odds you think in our lifetime they're going to restructure that Senate?
I think it's a great thought, Sandy, and you can, you know, give us some response to it on the other side. 855-752-4842. Again, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesday. My co-host Sandy Williams are going to talk about Trump and Congress are skipping out on the bill for mass deportations. And Sandy, where that money's going to come from, their tax breaks. All of this is contingent, upon making sure that they get those tax breaks.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same message, at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about money, the power of money. That last song was actually a warning song about the return of the men in the jackboots, which is a warning about fascism. So, yeah, it's all about what we've been watching, which is money taking control and the dangers of it.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go back to Cassandra. Cassandra, good, welcome back. You say what?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for taking my call again. I just called in because I, as an elder, I love hearing from our young people. And Charles spoke before you went on break. And Charles made some very valid points about how many of the Republicans are scared to challenge Trump and the MAGA people out of concern for their families. Now, Charles, I personally am concerned about how the Republicans discipline their members. However, they are disciplining them and keeping them in line. Charles, here's something, and you are the future of the party. The Democratic Party refuses to discipline their members. During the Biden administration, they do. The Democratic Party refuses to discipline their members in order to advance a political agenda. Think about the Biden administration. Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, they were the ones that tanked the $15 minimum wage and also the concerns from the parliamentarians.
Yeah, but Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin may have been in the Democratic Party, but they weren't exactly Democrats.
Well, you know what? And that is a problem.
Okay, so, but Cassandra, I guess I find it hard to even comprehend how we can even be talking about that when we're faced with an unprecedented an unprecedented time in this nation's history. You just came out and said that the Republicans, Congress people are afraid for their families, with their families. Whatever you want to say about Joe Biden and the Democrats, there was never a time when they felt threatened for their lives by people who are in our government. That's not what our government is.
Well, I do think maybe Cassandra conflated a couple of points, but I do think that the Democrats' inability to control their messaging had a lot to do with this, with the loss of this last election, in that they allowed themselves to be branded by the Republicans, and they didn't do a good job of messaging, because I think their message is so broad and is undisciplined. But the question is, how does a party discipline its message without suppressing and without being coercive? And of course, the Republican Party has been happy to be both suppressive and oppressive and coercive with respect to its party members. And so, you know, it's difficult to watch, the outcome of this has been the result probably of a Republican Party which has been very controlled in its messaging and branding, and now we have what we've got, which is a party that presented itself one way and is now behaving another.
So I give you, let's say I give you and Cassandra that about the Democrats. I don't know how then what came out of Cassandra's mouth about Republicans being threatened, their families, by Donald Trump and the government. How is I don't even see how we can even, there's an equivalent at all to that.
Well, you know, the notion that a president could withdraw the security detail for people who are actually physically in danger because of their service to this government is something we've never seen before. George Wallace had a protective detail offered to him after the assassination attempt that he experienced. And George Wallace was about as far and disparate from the then government in place as anyone could be. And so now to have General Milley and Fauci, Anthony Fauci, and these various people have the securities details pulled from them at a time when the president who pulled that security detail is the one who is saying the things that are putting them at risk. It's an ungodly thing to watch. Well, this is the kind of activity that autocrats and dictators pursue.
You know, we can say whatever we want to about the 4 years with Joe Biden. I lived through it. I was here. I saw what I saw. But I don't see how they, again, so to go back and talk about that the Democrats didn't do this, whatever that was, that's no reason that we've got people who are threatening other people's lives, Sandy.
And so I'm not sure whether families have been put at risk with respect to this, but I think the Republican opposition in Congress is worried about the MAGA reaction that they might experience, which might include death threats, but also what they're worried about is getting primaried, which means losing the job they want to keep, which unfortunately is apparently a motive they have that exceeds their motive to pursue the public good.
All right, 855-752-4842. Hang on, guys. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, your music selection.
Well, it's just music about money and power and maybe reactions to it. You know, what we're watching right now is sort of startling in terms of the government apparently being in control of people who have a great deal of money.
All right. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. Did you get an answer for me from when I called about when you had the Supreme Court justice candidate on the air about checks and balances? The Supreme Court is supposedly the final say on issues, some of what we're talking about. But if a majority of the state's Supreme Court disagree with the federal Supreme Court, can they challenge their acts or can they override what the federal Supreme Court does?
Well, Al, Sandy can respond to that.
No, they can't. The U.S. Supreme Court is the final arbiter of what it is that is the federal law. And there's no reversal of their decision other than by the Supreme Court itself. There is no mechanism for state intervention. Our checks and balances are dependent upon a Supreme Court that acts responsibly and within the law, and then they don't have the power to enforce their decisions. And so, again, the norm of our government is that the executive branch will exercise its power to enforce the orders of the Supreme Court, even if they are adverse to the executive arm, which is why I'm predicting that sometime during this Trump administration, we're likely to see the Trump government defy a Supreme Court decision.
But the point I'm making is the fact that we all know Trump put four people on that Supreme Court who basically are doing what he tells them to do, what he tells them to do. So Supreme Court, when he did that, he automatically took over the government. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, if in fact they operate in that manner and do what he tells them to do, we'll see whether Amy Conan Bryant and Brett Kavanaugh are doing his bidding. But yeah, I mean, you know, ultimately, if the Supreme Court doesn't exercise its will within the law, then we've got a problem, you know, and our system doesn't involve a solution to that problem within the system.
Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Couple things. You were earlier talking about, you know, security detail and what have you. I should remind people that, you know, the Supreme Court justices had regularly attempted assassinations. Brett Kavanaugh being one of them, and, you know, some of the other conservative justices. And the Biden administration had no inclination of giving them any security details. So I just wanted to...
Well, that isn't true. The Supreme Court justices all have security details.
They did not have security detail with the assassination attempts. And in fact, Kennedy, when he was running for president, he didn't get security detail until after the first assassination attempt with Trump. He was clamoring for security detail.
So, David, what you are saying is that when the Democrats were in charge and there were threats on the lives of Republicans, they didn't offer them security. That's what you're saying, that it's a political issue.
What I'm saying
That's what you're saying, man.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It didn't happen. The fact of the matter is, that as far as what is going on, what you're seeing currently, what you're seeing is you saw that within the last couple of days, Mexico, Canada, Panama, Venezuela, all these countries are folding.
They bowed down. They bowed down to King Trump, is what you're saying.
Well, wait a minute, though. Let's just go through that, because Donald Trump wants to tell the story. You should read the Wall Street Journal editorial yesterday regarding the trade war. I think it's a newspaper you favor. And, you know, Donald Trump tells the story that Mexico folded. They didn't fold. They sent 10,000 troops to the border, exactly the same response they gave to Joe Biden, who never threatened tariffs, who simply had a negotiation with the Mexican president at the time and got 10,000 troops sent to the border. So, you know, we've got a story being told, but capitulated? Canada hasn't capitulated. Panama hasn't yet capitulated. They've simply agreed that they'll have a conversation.
They said that they are leaving the whole China delegation and they will be working with the United States.
That's because they never were working with the Chinese delegation. Okay, I mean, I don't understand. You know, you can't just believe everything that is mouthed to you. I don't think that the characterization of what was going on with the Panama Canal was not accurate. Nothing about it was accurate. The number of deaths that Americans experienced when it was built, who built it and when, and nor was it correct to say that the Chinese were running it, and nor was it true to say that the Americans were paying disproportionate tariffs to get through the canal. All of that wasn't true.
So you're saying that China absolutely has no facilities down at the Panama
Canal? No, they have facilities down there, and Panama has not said that they will not allow them to have facilities. What was said was that the Chinese were in control of the canal, and they never were in control of the canal.
So the fact that Marco Rubio was just down there, and he also went to Ecuador, and Ecuador, the president there, just said he's going to accept all these additional illegal aliens within the system. Now, Ecuador has got some crazy prisons, and he's even willing to take some of the worst U.S. Prisoners as well. I'm not sure if you saw that. But at the end of the day, they're making negotiations with multiple countries to rectify the situation with what we have going on in the United States with the overflow of people from God only knows where, And that's being done as we speak.
Well, I'm just not, you know, I just think we have to temper what is going on and what we're being told as with respect to the extent to which American leverage and Donald Trump are causing it to happen. But yeah, I mean, you know, Colombia, for instance, Colombia sent its own planes to get the immigrants that were being deported back to Colombia. I think it was because they were not interested in having the U.S. send a military plane to Colombia. So, we're putting muscle on people to with respect to the return of immigrants from the United States back to those countries. Your description of them as the worst criminals, I don't know whether that's true or not. I mean, we've never gotten the straight truth about the extent to which the deported people were violent criminals or will be violent criminals. I think that everyone in the United States is unified about the notion that anyone who commits a violent crime in this country who's an illegal alien should be deported. And I think there's no question about whether that's a good idea.
I heard, Sandy, somewhere around that number being about 100 very, very dangerous people that they've deported.
Well,
there's so many people.
Joe Biden deported 270,000 people. Before him, Obama set actually a record for the number of people deported. You know, it's not like this hasn't been ongoing, and it's not like people who've come to this country illegally and committed violent crimes haven't been being deported. They have been, okay? So right now we've got a situation in which numbers of thousands of people have been rounded up. They're not actually rounding them up at a significantly faster rate than they were under Joe Biden. Joe Biden deported 270,000. That's not 1,000 people a day, but it's close to it. And so we'll see the extent to which what is ongoing under the next president is substantially different than what occurred under prior presidents.
All right, let's go to Gene from McClare. Good morning to you, Gene. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Well, good morning. Let's wake up to reality this morning. The Democrats are not responsible for this horrifying mess that is happening in our country as we speak. This is due to mega Republicans. Wake up, folks, because the good Republicans got driven out and taken their spots by people who don't give one bit about you. And they don't care about the kids because, obviously, they're going after the schools and moms and dads. You got to stand up, and you go to those PTA meetings. You go to the to the state and start protesting because this is impacting your children and your future. Now, saying this about the Democrats don't do anything with their people or discipline them, give me a break. Let's think about Al Franken. Let's think about the different people Menendez, he's going to prison. Trump is doing what he's doing. A criminal, folks, wake up. And he had the money. He had the backing. Oh, we didn't even get to see his trial for what he did at our Capitol. So, folks, wake up. When they're spewing it, those Republicans, they are doing it. And they're trying to distract you. Oh, Biden did this and that. Hey, we never had so many roads and bridges fixed. We haven't had so many people getting help than we ever did in our lives. He fixed our economy. Don't bash Biden. Biden goes to church.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Ann from Chippewa Falls. Good morning to you, Ann. You say what?
I'm just echoing Jeannie. That was awesome. This is the thing, the blame and shame party. That's what I feel like when they call in, they're blaming Biden for everything and all the people that voted for Biden. We're supposed to all stick together and watch what Trump and his circus team is doing. And once he affects Social Security, Medicaid, then all those people that are calling in might be a little upset. You know, there's a bigger picture here, everyone. You know, I'm more afraid of the January 6th people than I am of an immigrant family, to tell you the truth. So I'm just tired of them always bringing up Biden when they call. Biden is not the president anymore. This guy is running his own ship, and you should all make him responsible. If he was my president, I would want to know what's going on. Instead of, you know, blaming all of us that didn't vote for him, maybe you should hold him accountable, because that's what we are founded on. We're founded on a group of working people that that we should be worried about and take care of. So that's all I have to say.
You know, Ann, I like you, don't want to hear any more about what Joe Biden did. Joe Biden, as you stated, his time is up. He hasn't been the president for a while now. And so this is the Republicans and Donald Trump. And so to keep going back to what Joe Biden didn't do is a ridiculous statement. We're dealing with today. The reality of what's happening in this country right now is on Republicans and Donald Trump, and not Joe Biden and not the Democrats. They're in charge. It's happening under their watch. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Were you ever taught when you were young? If you mess with things selfishly, they're bound to come undone. I'm not the only one that's been affected and resented every story you've spun, and I'm a lucky one. Cause there are people worse off that have suffered enough. Haven't they suffered enough? But you can't get enough of shutting down systems for personal gain, fighting fires with lies.
All right, welcome back to what is unfortunately the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. My guest always is Sandy Williams. Let's go right back to the phone line. Susan from Kenosha. Susan, you say what?
Hi, good morning. And I've been listening to you all morning. This is the first day I've had in an entire 2 weeks. But I do want to say that I do agree with everyone that we do have to come together. We have to look at this in a rational way, not in an exciting way that we make the wrong move. Yes, the Democratic Party did make some errors in judgment, but then again, in their, particularly in their messaging, but we are, the Democrats always believed in democracy. The Republicans do not believe in a democracy. They're more of an authoritative government, and that is what we have now. Now we have to go and look at it, really look at it, and make a decision on how we are going to defend our democracy and what our next steps will be. But we have to do it as a collective unit. And in my opinion, the people who voted for Trump are the people that are going to be the ones who are going to have to live through this and know that their response to this last election is what caused this fray of our democracy and our Constitution. I don't want to see our Constitution end. I don't want to see our democracy end because of people who have decided upon themselves who are right and who are wrong.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Let's go back to Tom from West Dallas. Tom?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to point out this whole Panama thing that, you know, China is taking over and everything. China is investing in Panama around it. They have a port on each side of it. That's their own port, but they're investing in the country like they do in South Africa, like they're doing in India. They are, or all of Africa, they are investing while we're sitting back on our laurels watching it all happen. No one in this country is investing anything in any of that. And now we're mad, or the Republicans are all mad, because they're actually doing something and we're just sitting here complaining about it like they always do.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Troy from Mount Horeb. Sandy,
let me just leap in for a minute, because I think one of the dangers of what's happening with Donald Trump leaning on all these countries all around us and trying to exert a powerful influence on them and exert our muscle is essentially driving them into the arms of the Chinese. I mean, you know, if you're a country who wants to resist the United States and the pressure the United States puts on you, who do you turn to that can help you, be a, for instance, can be a big trading partner with you that can supplant the trading that you are otherwise doing with the United States? And let me just say that in the world, there are only two alternative economies to the United States. There's the European Union and there's China. And what Donald Trump is doing in the long run is driving people into the arms of those places.
All right, Troy from Mount Horeb. Troy, go ahead.
You know, Cassandra talks about, oh, I voted for Trump because whatever. But, you know, it's like if you've got a body and the leg is, you got to amputate the leg. Because people like Cassandra didn't amputate the leg. They shot the body in the head. And, you know, to throw everything away on Trump because I'm mad at the Democratic Party was awful, and I can't stand it.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. Brendan, go ahead.
Just a couple of points on the gentleman that talked about restructuring the government. We got to get rid of career politicians. This is why we have the Senate and the Congress that we have, because these guys sit in there for years and years. We need to put term limits on senators and congresspeople. Secondly, Canada didn't bend the knee either. The $1.3 billion that they were going to spend had been published in Canada Press months before Trump got in office. So nobody did anything, and he's a clown. And the other thing is, too, is that I don't know who really believes that in 4 years from now, if he's still in office, that we're going to have a fair election.
Hey,
that's just a pipe dream.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, it's uncharted territory that we're in. And you know, again, my belief may be wrong, Sandy, but I don't think I am. The only way to really fight this man is for the Republican Party to fight him. They can't just roll over. That's what they've been doing, Sandy. It's why we can't. There's a lack of hope.
Well, hopefully those in Congress, particularly, and those in the Senate will realize that their seats are going to be in jeopardy, not because they'll be primaried by Donald Trump, but because what they're doing in conjunction with Donald Trump is so damaging that the voter constituencies they were relying upon will have second thoughts.
Sandy, thank you. Great as always, man. Really, really appreciate it. Thank everybody who made the show go. Up next, Jane Medner and Greg Bach Medner on air. See you guys tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.